How are you? Good morning. Well,
good
afternoon,
morning.
I should say.
It's actually, it's afternoon here, too. We're an hour behind here.
Jonathan, obviously this week for the NFL has been very emotional. It's been very stressful, I'm sure. A lot of developments. And you know, we talked about the domestic policy last week, the domestic abuse policy, and how Roger Goodell had stepped up and had done his best to right a wrong. And then we saw the video of the Ray Rice incident with his now wife. So I don't know what you can add to this. I don't know what you can say, but as a member, you know, your family owns the New England Patriots. You're a pillar of the NFL. And just your thoughts when you saw the video.
The video is sickening. I mean, you can't, it's hard to watch it, and I only saw it once, and you don't want to see it again. But I hear people saying the video changes things, and I don't think it should, because there aren't gradations of domestic violence. It's utterly abhorrent, period. And a man should not ever put his hand on his partner or his spouse, or for that matter, any woman, unless it's a warranted welcome. It's a welcome, and I don't even... The hands on the woman are hugging or something affectionate. You don't do it. It's utterly abhorrent, and the video is terrible in terms of a visual that people have to see. But I don't think it should change the view of it, because there aren't gradations. Domestic violence is disgraceful, abhorrent, and wrong. And I think last week when we talked about it, we referenced the commissioner's letter, and I thought I would just read something. I figured you would ask me about this. And August 28th, which was 10 days before the video came out, or 9 days, Roger wrote a letter to ownership. And in the letter, he wrote, "Although the NFL is celebrated for what happens on the field, we must be equally vigilant in what we do off the field. At times, however, and despite our best efforts, we fall short of our goals. We clearly did so in response to a recent incident of domestic violence. We allowed our standards to fall below where they should be and lost an important opportunity to emphasize our strong stance on a critical issue and the effective programs we have in place. My disciplinary decision led the public to question our sincerity, our commitment, and whether we understood the toll that domestic violence inflicts on so many families. I take responsibility both for the decision and for ensuring that our actions in the future properly reflect our values. I didn't get it right. Simply put, we have to do better." And Roger, as I said, put that statement out before this video was public. I believe, acknowledging the fact that domestic violence needs to be taken... I can't even find the right adjectives to describe, just it's a complete black and white issue. It's 100% wrong, and there aren't gradations. The most minimal form of domestic violence is as abhorrent as the most violent, because it's completely and utterly unacceptable. And the outrage that comes from seeing the video is understood, but what was known before that should have elicited the same outrage, and I think Roger was acknowledging that when he wrote this letter.
Well, now it's kind of cranked up, Jonathan, because you've got, what was it, like 10 or 12 congressmen who are now, it's time to jump on the pile, and we see this in government all the time, and that just heightens the awareness of the non-traditional NFL fan that they're now jumping in on all of this, and you know, it adds fuel to a fire where it doesn't necessarily need any more fuel.
Well, the fact that congressmen and women or congresspeople are choosing to comment on it speaks to the stage that the NFL has, or the platform, I should say, that the NFL has, and the obligation that Roger referred to in his letter to be held to a very high standard and to set an example. And we fell down, and I think it's well within Congress's right to comment that way. It would, I hope that they also comment as enthusiastically or verbally, as strongly, probably enthusiastic is the wrong adjective, but that there is strong when they look at the judicial system in New Jersey, who let somebody who did this essentially walk without a conviction, because that's wrong also, and them not, that's not making any excuse from the NFL standpoint. I'm just making the equally strong statement, because I think Congress people have the ability to affect those things as well, and clearly their words mean something to us when they speak them too.
You talked about Rogers' letter and the fact that he admitted to making a mistake. And then the debate this week was, did Rogers see the video? He said he did not. There was an AP report that the video was sent to the league office. And now the debate is, and in your mind, I'm sure there is no debate, but in the public is, did Roger Goodell lie? Or was it a situation where he did not want to see the video? And then, of course, you have the Adrian Peterson case, which really doesn't... They're both awful, and we'll get to that in a moment. But that's not really connected to the Ray Rice issue. They're both terrible. So what is the future of Roger Goodell? I mean, despite the fact that he's done a very good job for this league, and many people have the utmost respect for him, this happened on his watch. So is his job in jeopardy?
Look, you started that question by saying, did he or didn't he see the video? I've known Roger for over 20 years. I've never seen him do anything but be crystal clear and tell the truth. I haven't talked to him about this particular situation, but when he says he didn't see the video, I believe him. That AP report was from an anonymous source quoting an anonymous, well, not an anonymous person, a female voice at the NFL, saying it had been seen. So I don't know how to comment on that beyond saying I've never known Roger to be anything but honest. And he's brought a level of transparency internally at the league to machinations and how league meetings are run that was not there prior. And I know that's something that's important to him in general as a manager.
Jonathan, you're... organizations, let's call it, and your family's one real brush with someone who was involved in domestic violence is all the way back to the very beginning of your tenure with Christian Peter. He never made it in the building. Can you just provide a little perspective as to why you never let the guy get in the building, and what you and your family learned about this issue very early in your ownership some 20 years ago now?
Yeah, that was the same draft as Terry Glenn, I believe. And so there was a lot of... The world was very different than the amount of diligence and homework, certainly, that we would see or get in pre-draft meetings. And we were still trying to learn what was going on and how the way the NFL worked. And Bill Parcells had a way of running personnel in football that was very much about the football side of the house. And so when Christian Peter was drafted, it was just here's a name being taken off the board, running back from Nebraska. Well, within hours we had heard of some of the reports that were out there about him and domestic violence that we were not aware of. Meaning our family was not aware of. And there were discussions with the football people after that. And the football people had been aware of them, but had talked to his coaches out there and gave a lot of reasons why they thought the things that had happened legally with Christian Peter probably were worth overlooking. We let them know that we weren't going to overlook those, and that even though we had spent a fifth-round draft choice on Christian Peter, he wasn't going to step foot in our building because domestic violence is just a line that we're never knowingly going to cross. And we've tried since then to raise the level of awareness of the importance of doing your homework in that area before we put people on our draft board. And you try to do all the homework again, you're never perfect, but we will never knowingly bring somebody in who's been convicted or been associated with it in a way that would lead you to believe, even if they haven't been convicted, that they've done something inappropriate, because that's just a line you don't cross.
And now, Jonathan, with Adrian Peterson, the NFL has to deal with this. So it's not, when you say domestic violence, it's not just a spouse or a partner. Now we're talking children. And he's been indicted. He's cooperating fully. But I think the decision here for the league, which obviously none of us condone this, is that he admits to doing this. He says a whooping is proper to give to a child. And I know it's something I don't condone. I know it's something you don't condone. But if he's convicted and he serves his term, then what does the NFL do about it? I think it's a hard one for the league.
Child, I have three children. I've never touched them, and growing up, my parents never touched us. It's just so foreign and alien to me. Flying out here this morning, we were watching ESPN, and I was listening to a bunch of ex-NFL players talk about how culturally to them this was the way they grew up, and I just don't get it, so it's hard to comment on, other than the fact the way I was brought up, the way I raised my children, is you don't lay your hands on them, and from where I sit, it's completely unacceptable, and it's just as abhorrent as what we've been talking about. It was interesting listening to some people raise a defense about it being cultural, and I can't comment on that. Everything I've heard about this makes you just as physically uncomfortable as the other stuff we've talked about, and I think it's a real issue. And in this case, I think Adrian Peterson in his comments basically did say it was a thing he grew up with, and it's culturally what the norm is. That's just hard. I can't comment on it because it's just so alien to me, other than to say from where I sit, it's incredibly unacceptable.
Jonathan, we've only got about a minute here, but speaking of uncomfortable, how uncomfortable was it around the facility this week after the performance down in Miami?
I was traveling a bunch this week, so I'm happy for that.
that explains a lot. You kind of summed it up right there.
Look, take your hat off to the Dolphins. In the second half of that football game, they absolutely dominated us, and it's the first week of the season, and I think you'd rather see that happen in week one than week 14, 15, or 16. And it's good that it's good that it's the beginning of the season, and hopefully a lot of lessons will be learned that'll serve us well going forward. But obviously it was not the way you'd want to start the year out. And the Dolphins, they took it to us in the back half of that game, and they deserve to win.
It's Miami, Jonathan. It's just a freaky place. You're right. They played well in the second half, but it's typical Miami. You know, it's just one of those places that's been
I have only two good memories of football games in Miami. The AFC Championship game back in the end of the 85 season, where I was sitting in the second to last row of the old Orange Bowl. That's one good memory. And then that overtime game about 8-9 years ago where Troy caught that pass from Tom down the left sideline, those are about my only good memories. Not a lot of good ones.
Well, Jonathan, hopefully there'll be a good memory today with the Patriots and the Vikings, but thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Take care, guys.